Ephesians chapter 5. I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be there in just a minute. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm thankful to God that I can bring another part of His Word to us this morning that I hope is really helpful and encouraging to us. What a blessing that last week, even though we were in Kentucky, we got to live stream with you all. It was 8:30 Eastern time. 8:30 Central Time, 9:30 here. But we were still able to join you. We really enjoyed that. That was good. Still got to do the junior high class at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. And that was great. And then we got back in town and thankfully had safe holiday travels and all of that. So we're glad to be here. I don't know about you, but does it feel good to be in 2021? Does anyone feel that? Okay, I'm here. So you agree because you're laughing. You know, we had all these jokes last year, right? Maybe you saw some of the jokes on the internet about how terrible 2020 is, and I wish it was the next year. Maybe you saw some of those. My favorite one was the one that said, you know, my grandma always threatened to slap me into next year, and I finally wish that she just would. So is 2021 going to be any better? Well, we don't know. There's some promising things on the horizon. There's some scary things on the horizon. It feels good to put that year behind us. But what the gospel offers us is a new start. And we're going to be getting there at the end of this lesson. Our final point is going to be this new life, this new start, this new birth through the gospel. And so that is fitting as we start our new year. In Christ, we have a new start. We can put the old behind us like we just put that previous year behind us and start anew in Jesus Christ. So that's where we're going to be going this morning eventually. But we're in the series on the Holy Spirit. This is part 4. And today we're talking about the strong connection we see in the Scriptures between the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And we'll be looking at Ephesians 6 here in just a minute. So in this series, our first lesson, we talked about the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Old Testament said God is going to pour out His Spirit, and how that was this promise of spiritual life. That was the emphasis of that promise. The lesson number 2 was, what kind of spirit can be seen in us? Is God's Spirit, is Christ seen in us? What's going on in our life and in our heart? Lesson number 3, this was the last lesson 2 weeks ago, whereas the God's Spirit makes us alive in Christ. We were dead in our sins, and then God makes us to be alive in Christ. So here in lesson 4, we're going to talk about the Word of God that comes from the Spirit of God and this strong connection we see in the Scriptures that the Spirit brings the Word, the Spirit brings the message and the truth that we need. So let's look at this, this connection with the Spirit of God and the Scripture and giving us the Word of God. You have in here in Ephesians 6, verse 17, in the armor of God, put on this, and arm yourself with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That Word of God is then our sword, the sword of the Spirit. You see that those things being connected there. Maybe a familiar passage in 2 Timothy 3:16, speaking about the inspiration of Scripture. It says there that all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, my translation here says all Scripture is breathed out by God. But many translations will say inspired. Inspired has this idea of breathed out. And if you remember in our last lesson, we talked about this connection between God's breath and His Spirit, that in the languages of the Bible, the word for breath and wind are the same word for Spirit. And so that's why Jesus comes to His disciples in John 20, and He breathes on them, and He says, receive the Spirit. There's this connection between the breath of God and the Word of God, and you know, of course, you breathe when you speak. So this breath of God and the Word of God, but that's the Spirit of God idea. So all Scripture is breathed out by God. And your translation may say inspired there, but that helps us even more because what's in the word inspired? And the word spirit's right there. That's part of the kind of the origin of those words. And so all scripture comes from God, is breathed out by him, is spoken through his spirit. And we get that. I mean, if you're, anything much about the Bible, you realize that the Bible teaches this really comes from God. That yes, Moses and the prophets and Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, they put a pen to paper and wrote that down. But it really comes from God, who through his spirit inspired those people to write just what God wanted to be communicated. And so scripture, we say, is inspired, comes from God, and passages like 1 Peter and 2 Peter speak of God's spirit moving and bringing about his word. So that's the basic teaching of the Bible and where God's word comes from, through his spirit. What about this Old Testament passage that says the same thing? Zechariah 7, verse 7. Weren't these the words? He's speaking of the prophets. Weren't these the words that the Lord proclaimed by the former prophets? So God speaking through the prophets. And then five verses later, he says, they, Israel, they made their hearts diamond hard, lest they should hear the law and the words that the Lord of hosts had sent by his spirit through the former prophets, which is taken even a step further here. So we see in verse 7 that the words of the prophets come from the Lord. God gave those prophets the message to preach, and the Old Testament or New Testament alike. The God's behind that. But even stronger than that, Zechariah 7:12 says, the law and the words that the Lord of hosts sent through his spirit, sent by his spirit through those prophets. And so God's spirit working people to give his words. Again, this connection we're emphasizing this morning. The spirit of God giving the message of God, and that connection there, that those words were sent by God's spirit through the prophets. Here's another passage that I want us to think about this morning. Rob Rees brought this passage. We were talking about this recently. And if you've ever studied Ephesians and Colossians, you know that Ephesians and Colossians have tons of parallels. They're so connected, which really helps, because if there's a passage in Ephesians that maybe doesn't make as much sense, if you can find something very similar in Colossians, it may help explain it. We'll come back to this idea in a subsequent lesson, God willing. But lots and lots of parallels. So you have a passage here in Ephesians 5 that has a strong parallel to the same section, the same part of the book, as Colossians chapter 3. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20 says, do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then a very parallel passage to Colossians 3 says, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Maybe that sounds familiar. With thankfulness in your hearts to God. And you can just go through here and make an exercise of it to underline the one passage that Paul's going to basically say the same thing in the parallel passage. So here he says, addressing one another, and here similarly, teaching and admonishing one another. He speaks about these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing these. That's a phrase you don't come across just every page of the Bible. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Well, guess what? The Colossians 3, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And he speaks about giving thanks always, with thankfulness in your hearts, and actually at the beginning of the verse 2, be thankful. So there's just a lot of parallels. And you can go through Ephesians and Colossians and see these parallels all over the place. Well, look at this passage, how it starts in speaking about the Spirit. Paul says there, don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And that's what he says. Now, Paul's making a contrast here that, pretty obviously, right? He says, don't get drunk with wine. That's sinful. That's a spirit that you can fill yourself with that gets you drunk and stupid and leads you and misleads you. He says, don't be led off by that. Don't be influenced by that. Don't be filling yourself with alcohol. That's debauchery. That's sinful. He says, be filled with the Spirit of God instead. Let that influence you. Let that be filling you and who you are. Now, interestingly here, it could be translated be filled with the Spirit or be filled in the Spirit or be filled by the Spirit. In other words, not so much get the Spirit in you, but maybe let the Spirit fill you. So just some different options there. I don't have a strong opinion about that, but some different possibilities of the exact idea. But haven't we seen this wine-spirit contrast before in our study, right? That there's a way of getting drunk and getting led astray by this spirit of drunkenness and lust. That was Hosea. When we looked at Hosea chapters 4 and 5, that Israel is filled with this spirit of lust and they're getting led off by drunkenness. That's bad. God wants us to be led by Him, be led by His word and His truth and His power and His working and all those kinds of things. So two different spirits, one terrible, one is God's plan to draw us back to Him. So after this, He says, be filled with the Spirit or be filled by the Spirit. He gives us a list of things to do here. Address one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing, make melody with your heart to God. Give thanks always. So these are things that we can do to help fill us up with God, with His word, with encouragement, and things like that. Addressing one another in songs. We're going to sing some more today. Let that encourage you and fill you up as we sing and make melody with our hearts to God. Giving thanks. As I, instead of being filled with an angry spirit or filled with my own problems, no, I'm going to fill myself with gratitude and give thanks to God. And so these are ways that can fill us up with God, but there are also things that we can do once we're filled up with God. We can give thanks and be full of joy and singing and these kinds of things. Now, let's get back to our parallel. Here's the point. Paul says in Ephesians 5, be filled with the Spirit, be filled by the Spirit. And what's the parallel statement over here in Colossians 3? He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And that's this idea, is let God's word powerfully be at work in your life. We don't just put God's word into our brain. We're not just trying to learn a list of facts. We're trying to get God's word living and active and powerful in my heart and in my life that changes me, that impacts me, that I'm a different person because of God's word, the word of Christ dwelling richly in me. It's a powerful picture, right? For the word of Christ not to be dead in me, but dwelling in me richly, in me all the time, and doing things, that God's word is alive and changing me and seen in my life. You see how that's very connected. To be filled by the Spirit is to let that word, let that truth be living and active in my life. Now, before we get to the practical applications of this, we're going to talk about how we need to fill ourselves with the word of God. I want to pause and address something that we've kind of been, you know, working on through this series already. Many Bible students have seen the parallels in the Scripture between the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and basically when they talk about the Spirit, they're basically drawing an equal sign between the two, that the Spirit of God is the Word of God. I certainly grew up hearing this, and you know, this was my understanding. There's probably people in this room who may kind of hold that same position. I mean, I'm no expert here on the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to try to share with you what I think the Bible says about that. And if this idea of basically saying that the Word of God and the Spirit of God are essentially the same thing, more or less in the New Testament, when you're reading and it says the Spirit, just replace it with the Word, and that's kind of what it is. And the reason that people have come to this conclusion is because of the strong connection throughout Scripture between the Spirit of God and the Word of God. We're not making this up. That's all over. God gives His word through the Spirit, and we fill ourselves up with the Spirit by the word. And so it's powerful. God gives us these things, the truth that the Spirit gives through the word, so that we can be changed and transformed. The word and the Spirit are so connected, and that's really our emphasis today. But what I'd like to say is that we can take it just a step too far and basically say that the Spirit is the word. Well, no, it's certainly more nuanced than that, and there's more to it than that. We don't want to oversimplify that and really miss some of the Bible truths that we're supposed to see. So let me just suggest some problems with saying the Word is the Spirit, kind of an equal sign between the two. Wouldn't you realize that all the Scriptures are inspired, right? From Genesis to Revelation, they're inspired. And so it's not like the new covenant, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are inspired, but those old pastors, no. No, the whole thing's inspired. That's what we just read in Zechariah. We just read in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired. So it's not like inspiration or the Spirit delivering it is the difference, at least not on that base level. And we talked about this, that when God promised the coming of the Spirit, we saw that in Isaiah and Ezekiel and Zechariah and Joel. When God promised the coming of the Spirit, he says something new is coming. Something new and different and greater and bigger is coming. So it's not just that more books, more inspired books are coming. There's something very new that's going to come in the age of the Messiah, in the age of the Spirit. Look at what 2 Corinthians 3:6. Paul, speaking of his ministry, I wish it could have been a part of your 2 Corinthians class when you went through this. But he says there, he's made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, not the laws and the Ten Commandments of the old covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The letter kills, the Spirit gives life. That's what law does, is when you break it, you're a sinner, and the law kills. But this new covenant of the Spirit gives life. And so you have here this description of Paul's ministry. I'm a minister of a new covenant of the Spirit. So there's something new about the coming of the Spirit that is different than just the Old Testament and those things. And so if we just say, well, the Spirit is the Word, well, there's more to it than that, because there's something new about the coming of the Spirit through Christ and these kinds of things. Paul there equates it to the new covenant. So the God's Spirit is hugely connected to God's Word. That's what we're trying to emphasize today. But we also realize that the Holy Spirit is more than this book that I have in front of me. God gave us the Spirit. God gives the Spirit through the Word, but the Spirit is part of God. I mean, it's the person, a part of the person of God. It's an aspect of who God is. And he gives the Bible, but it's more than just that. You know, this is a gift from the Spirit, but there's more than just that because he's the Spirit. So they're connected, but they're clearly not the same thing. Here's a passage that would kind of articulate that. 1 Corinthians 2, speaking of the person of the Spirit, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. These truths God gives us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person, which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So you have the Spirit of God who searches the mind of God and gives us his words. But the Spirit is more than just the words. He's the one who gives the words, the gift. But before Moses ever wrote down Genesis 1, the Spirit was creating the world. The Spirit was doing things that was part of the nature of God long before in 1440 BC when Moses wrote Genesis. So we just need to see that they're not equal. The Spirit is not equal to the Word. So I think when we say the Spirit is the Word, we end up missing some valuable spiritual lessons. And we've covered that already. God willing, we'll keep kind of diving into some of these things that are going to be so helpful for us to see. But let me give an example, maybe my favorite example of this. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6 when he says, flee from sexual immorality, flee from fornication. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. For you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Here's Paul's point. His God is in you. That's the whole idea of a temple, is that God is in you. So if God's Holy Spirit is in you, what do you have to do with your body? You have to be holy with it. You can't be giving your body to sin, and sexual sin that is a sin against your body, you can't be doing that anymore, because God has given you his Spirit, his Holy Spirit. So glorify God in your body. Run away, flee from sexual temptation. And to me, it just seems a stretch to say, well, we have the Spirit in us because of the Word, and that makes my body holy. That seems too much of a stretch. I think what we see through the Scripture is that in baptism and things like that, we receive the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, and so our bodies are His. And we're holy now. We've got to use that body for him. That's a part of God's Word being in us. But there's just more to it than just the Word. And that's my point, is we see this strong connection with the Word, but there's just more to it than that. So I would say this is better. maybe say this, that in many passages, the Spirit is really about different pieces of the gospel. I think that gets us at least closer. In so many passages, we're talking about this new gospel message. Maybe that may be the message of the gospel, the blessings of the gospel, the power of the gospel, the new covenant. That was like in 2 Corinthians 3. God's work in us, in the gospel. So the Spirit giving us the gospel is this new thing that God gave us to bring us to God. This new thing that Jesus came and brought to us to redeem us. And we need to fill ourselves with that gospel message. I've used this verse before, but let's look at this again. Remember in Romans 5, verse 5, it says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. And just like the Old Testament said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit. Here, Paul says, it's the love of God that's been poured into my heart through the Holy Spirit. But does he go on to talk about the fact that the Spirit's in me? No. What he goes to talk about is the gospel message. He says, God's love's been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us because while we were weak, here's the gospel, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. One would scarcely die for an innocent person. Maybe someone would die for a good person. But God shows his love for us and that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the gospel message. And the gospel message is how God pours his love into our hearts through that truth of who God is and what he did and what Christ came to do. And so here in this passage, God pours his love into our hearts through the message of Jesus' death. That's how God fills our hearts with his love through the Spirit, is see what Jesus did. See the gospel truth. That's what you need. That's how you're going to fill your heart with God's love, with God's power, and all of those things. So I think helping us to see that the Spirit is equated with the gospel in a lot of passages, that's going to be helpful for us. And that's what we hit on last year. We talked about the fruit of the Spirit. Talk about the fruit of the Spirit is what the gospel is producing in me. He says, works of the flesh, that just brings about death. But the fruit of the Spirit in my life, what does the Spirit produce in me? What does the gospel produce in me? Well, when I understand the gospel, that fills me with love, joy, peace, patience. So that fruit of the Spirit. So what's the practical application to what we've been hitting on here? Well, you can probably guess it, that if the Word of God fills us with the Spirit of God, then we need to be in the Word. We need to fill ourselves up with the Word of God to fill ourselves up with the Spirit. Remember that Ephesians-Colossians parallel. Be filled with the Spirit and make the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. This is not passive. This is not you sit back and let God zap you. We need to let and make God's Word and God's truth alive in my heart. And fill myself with God's word so that he can powerfully work in my life. It's not just about words. It's not just about I memorized this passage and it didn't impact me at all. It's not about getting words in your head. It's about this truth about who God is and what he's done and Jesus and seeing him. It's truth powerfully working in us to change us. That's what we need is to fill ourselves up with the word of God. So any Bible study that's just about facts in and of themselves is not really accomplishing the purpose of getting Christ in us. Now, I mean, I get it. When you start a book like 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, and you talk about the nature of the city of Corinth and the historical background, that's helpful because that's going to help us to understand that book better. Or, you know, starting the Proverbs class, we'll have some introductory remarks. But the point of that is not just to get some facts about Proverbs in our head. The point of it all is to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, to fill us up with God, so that God can be changing us and in us and shown, Christ shown in my life. That's the point of all good Bible study. And that's what we need to do. I've had conversations with Christians, and I've said things like we need to be in our Bibles more and study our Bibles more. And when they hear that, they're thinking, you know, Haggai was, you know, in the 6th century BC, and like that's what good Bible study is. It needs to be beyond that, of course. It needs to be filling our lives with the powerful word of God. That's what we need to do. So it's interesting. The Apostle John has a unique description of the Holy Spirit. He's the only person in the New Testament that calls him the Spirit of Truth. And he says that four times in that section of John, in 14 and 15 and 16, and then in 1 John. the Spirit of Truth. And why does John call him the Spirit of Truth? Because the Spirit gives us the truth about God. It gives us the inspired word. It gives us the truth about who we are and what we need and how life works, and drawing us back to God through the Spirit of Truth. And so we fill ourselves up with God when we know the full truth about God, what the gospel has taught us. The more we see who God really is, through what the Spirit has brought us, the more we see who God really is, that should change us, that must change us. In fact, when Jesus came to show us the Father, when Jesus came to teach us the truth about who God really is, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father, that truth should blow us away. The New Testament, when we see who God really is, should radically transform our lives. That's what we need, is that truth about God through the Word of God given to us by the Spirit. That's what we absolutely need. So we come to this verse I love in John 3:34. It says, "He whom God sent," that's Jesus, "he whom God sent utters the words of God, for he," speaking of Jesus, "he gives the Spirit without measure." You see that connection between the Word of God and the Spirit of God? Now, they're not equal. It's not like they're just the exact same thing. But through the Word of God, we fill ourselves up with the Spirit of God beyond measure. When Jesus came, Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of life." And there was something in the message of the preaching of Jesus that John's commentary on that is, Jesus came and uttered the words of God, the truth of God, giving the Spirit without measure. So when Jesus came, it's like he's filling us up with the power of God, the nature of God, the Spirit. We can't even measure it. It's like this flood, an overwhelming flood of God and his goodness and his power and his love, his holiness and his character. That's what Jesus does. That's what the gospel does. It floods us with the Spirit beyond measure. Through the Word, of course. Of course, through the Word. That's what Jesus came to do, is to teach us who God really is. He was the Word. He came in the flesh, and he revealed who God really is. And that is this outpouring of the Spirit that the Old Testament was speaking about. So do you want to be close to God? I mean, this year, with all the challenges that 2021 is going to bring us, do you want to be close to God this year? Do you want to be filled with his power and his love and his character? To quote 2 Timothy 1 again, a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Do you want that in your life? Do you want to be powerfully filled with Jesus? Then this year be in the Word. This year be in the Bible and fill yourselves up with that truth, so that you can be like Jesus, so that you can be filled with that power, with that Spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly this year. To read your Bible every day and fill yourselves up with that, to feed your soul with those truths. Psalm 119:25, I think pointing towards the gospel. When there the psalmist says, "My soul clings to the dust, give me life according to your word." That's what we need, is to fill ourselves up with the Word of God. And we're going to need that. Now, we're going to have a Bible study at 5 o'clock this afternoon, Eastern time, 5 o'clock. And then on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And I hope that those Bible classes will help fill you up with the Word of Christ, that will help that dwell in your hearts richly. But you're going to need to take care of Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly those days too. And Wednesday before 7 o'clock. You get the idea. That's my responsibility. I need to do that, to let the Word of Christ dwell in me richly. And point number two is that you can be born again through the gospel. And in fact, you need to be born again through the gospel. Now, what the Bible teaches us is that the Word of Christ comes like a seed into our heart to make us born again, this new life, this new start through the gospel message. Now, next week, God willing, we're going to look at the Spirit's work in baptism. That in baptism, that we're born again, we're made holy, that whole picture. That's an Old Testament picture and a New Testament picture. So we'll look at that, at this definitive moment of God forgiving me of my sins in baptism, receiving the Spirit. But what we need to see is also that the gospel speaks of us being born again through the Word, through the words of the Spirit. James says this in James 1, verse 18. He says, of his own will, speaking of the Father, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So here, the Father brought us forth. That literally is this idea of giving birth to us. And how did the Father bring us forth, give birth to us? By the word, by the gospel message. This is not me sitting under my apple tree in the backyard and looking up at the clouds saying, I wonder what God wants me to do. God, fill me with your Spirit. That sounds nice. Or I can wear a bracelet that says, what would Jesus do? Which is a great sentiment. But that's not me making up stuff of what I think Jesus would do. It is through the Word of God. And so he gives us the teaching of the gospel and brings us forth by the truth, by the words of truth. And Peter says something nearly identical in 1 Peter 1. This was our scripture reading this morning. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. See that? A new start, a new life, not my first physical birth that I ruined through sin, but this new rebirth in Christ. Born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, eternal life, born again through the living and abiding Word of God. And so when we respond to the gospel, when I listen to Jesus and I obey, I submit to that, that's a seed, an eternal life seed, the Word of God seed, the Holy Spirit seed. We're letting the seed of new life grow in my life and take over. Does that sound familiar? That's precisely what Jesus teaches in the key to the parables, the parable of the sower. He said, behold, the sower went out to sow. And what does he sow? He sows the seed. But the seed, he says, when he explains it, is the Word of God. And so Jesus spoke the words of God and he spread that seed. And those who received it, those who were sown on the good soil, are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit. And when we do that and we listen to God, we listen to the gospel, that's going to bring about this new life in me. The sower sows it, and my job then is to hear it, to accept it. I think Matthew says receive it, to receive that. And then I need to bear fruit with that. Really let God's word take over in my life, like that seed growing. And so then James uses this exact terminology in James 1:21. He says, therefore, put away all filthiness, put away that wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Receive that word with meekness. Stop resisting God. Stop resisting his word and his plans. Do what God says. Receive the word like that seed and plant in your heart. I remember the day when the lightning bolt struck me. I'm reading James 1. The implanted word said, oh, that's the parable of the sower. There's the seed idea, the implanted word that is sown through the gospel. Receive it. Stop fighting against God. Listen to God. Let the gospel take over your life. And that's this new life, this new start, born again through the message of the words of the gospel. Will you let the gospel bring about a new birth in your life? Will you let God take over? Will you listen to God and let have this new birth in Christ through the gospel message? Will you listen to God today and let his word grow in you? To not squelch it. Remember the parable of the sower, the thorns, they choke it. It doesn't grow. It doesn't produce. Don't do that. Let God's word be manifest in your life because you're obeying it and you're doing what God says. And God can make a new creation for you. Of you in Christ Jesus. Another great 2 Corinthians verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. What God can do for you in Christ through the gospel message is make you a new creation, a new start. Put the old behind you and look forward to eternal life in Christ through the message of God that you will submit to and receive in your heart and obey everything that God has told you to do. You can become a new creation. And here's the cool point that we see. And just as God made the first creation through his word, that in Genesis 1, he spoke and brought about creation, that points forward to the gospel, where God speaks and brings about his new creation through the gospel message. That's what we need. You don't need to sit under your apple tree and try to figure it out. You need to submit to the word of God and let him create a new creation in you through his word, through Jesus, through obedience to our God. And if we can help you in any way we want to this morning, if we can baptize you into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, if we can pray with you, if we can study the Bible with you to help to get the words of God into you to change your life, we want to do that. Please let us know if we can help in any way, maybe even now, when we stand, we sing a song.
This message was brought to you by the Lakeview Church of Christ. For more information and more sermons, visit our website at www.lakeviewchurchofchrist.org. That's www.lakeviewchurchofchrist.org. On the website, you can find additional ways to contact us if you're interested in Bible study or praying together or just talking about spiritual things. You can also call us at 813-451-3725. That's 813-451-3725. May God bless you as you seek Him with all your heart.